Okay, so ready?
Mm-hmm. 来昆塔之音。欢迎大家继续来聆听我们亲爱的 Giridhara Maharaj 给我们动听的优美的 Krishna Book 讲课。现在开始。Yes.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today we are discussing chapter 14.Of Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book.
今天呢我们来讨论圣帕帕的 Krishna book 的第十四章。
And the title of that chapter is Prayers Offered by Lord Brahma to Lord Krishna.
这一章的题目呢是主 Brahma 向主 Krishna 供奉的祷文。
Now, this is a long chapter, so we have divided it into two parts.
那么因为这一章比较长所以我们把它分成了两个部分。
And today we will cover part one.
今天呢我们就讲第一部分。
Before we begin, we will chant our invocation prayer.
在开始之前呢我们再来唱诵一下我们的祷文。
Krishna, 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 k rRama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Ahimam. O Lord Krishna, please protect me and maintain me.
O 主 Krishna, 请保护我，请维系我。
O Lord Rama, descendant of King Rahu, please protect me.
O 主 Rama, 拉古国王的后裔啊，请维系我。
Okay, did you translate, O Lord Rama, descendant of King Rahu, please protect me?
Yes.
Okay, then, O Krishna, O Keshava, kill the Keshi demon, please maintain me.
O Krishna, O Keshava, Keshi mo de tu ju a, 请维系我。
Brahma said, My dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Supreme Lord, the personality of God.
Brahma 说我亲爱的主你是唯一的值得崇拜的至尊主的性格也就是人格首身
Therefore I am offering my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you
所以呢我就向你致以谦卑的顶拜和祈祷以取悦你
Your boxers are all filled with water
您的躯体的特征就好像装满了水的与云的颜色
You are glittering with a silver electric aura emanating from your yellow garments.
你的黄色的袍子散发出银色的光芒，因此而闪闪发光。
Let me offer my respectful repeated obeisances unto the son Amarajananda, who is standing before me with conch shell earrings and a peacock feather on his head.
让我前进的不断顶拜Ananda Maharaj的儿子。他站在我的面前他戴着海螺的耳环头上还插着孔雀羽毛而站在我面前。
His face is beautiful. He is wearing a helmet and he is garlanded by forest flowers.
他的脸庞非常的美丽他戴着头盔而且还戴着一串森林花环。
He stands with a morsel of food in his hand.
他手上还抓着一把食物站在那里。
He is decorated with a cane, a buffalo horn bugle, and a flute.
他装饰着一根棍子，还有一只牛角，还有一个笛子。
He stands before me with small lotus feet.
他以小小的莲花足站在我的面前。
My dear Lord, people may say that I am the master of all Vedic knowledge, and I am supposed to be the creator of this universe.
我亲爱的主啊人们可能会说我是所有伟大知识的主人的大师 而现在我应该是这个宇宙的创造者。
But it has been proved now that I can understand you, who are present before me just like a child.
但现在证明我根本就现在却证明我根本就无法理解你，因为你现在一个孩子的形象站在我面前。
You are playing with your boyfriends and calves, which might imply that you do not even have sufficient education.
你和你的男孩子朋友们和牛犊们一起在玩耍，这似乎是在这可能是暗示了你甚至还没有接受到足够的教育。
You are appearing just like a village boy carrying your food in your hand and searching for your calves.
你看起来好像是一个乡村男孩，手上还抓着食物，还在寻，然后一边呢寻找你的牛犊。
And yet, there is so much difference between your body and mine that I cannot estimate the potency of your body.
但是你的躯体和我的躯体是具有那么大的差别，我甚至都无法去衡量或评估您的躯体的能量、力量。
As I have already stated in the Brahma Samhita, your body is not material.
就好像我在 Brahma Samhita 就婆罗诃摩赞这本书里面所说的，您的躯体不是物质的。
In the Brahma Samhita is stated that the body of the Lord is all spiritual. There's no difference between the Lord's body and His self.
在 Brahma Samhita 里面说到，主的躯体是全人灵性的，主的躯体和他本人并没有区别。
Each limb of His body can perform the actions of all the others.
他的躯体的每一个肢体都能够从事其他所有肢体的活动。
The Lord can see with His hands.
主可以以他的手来看。
He can hear with his eyes.
他可以用眼睛来听。
He can accept offerings with his legs.
他可以用腿来接受供奉。
And he can create with his mouth.
他也可以用嘴来创造。
Brahma continued, your appearance as a cowherd child is for the benefit of the devotees.
Rama 继续说道，您作为一个牧牛童孩子而显现，这是为了您的奉献者的利益。
Although I've committed an offense at your lotus feet by stealing away your boys and calves, I can understand that you have bestowed your mercy upon me.
虽然说我偷走了你的男孩子和牛犊们而对您的莲花组做出了冒犯，但我却能理解您已经赐予我仁慈。
That is your transcendental quality. You are very affectionate.Toward your devotees.
这就是您的超然品质，您对您的奉献者充满了爱。
But in spite of your great affection for me, I cannot estimate the potency of your bodily activities.
但是呢，尽管你对我向我展示了巨大的爱，我却无法去评估您的躯体活动的力量。
It is to be understood that when I, Lord Brahma, the supreme personality of this universe,cannot estimate the childlike body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what to speak of others.
那么我们应该这样去理解，如果连我主 Brahma 作为这个宇宙的至尊人格都无法去评估至尊人格守神孩子般的躯体的话，那更不要说别人了。
And if I cannot estimate the spiritual potency of your childlike body,then what can I understand about your transcendental pastimes?
如果我都没法去衡量你的孩子的躯体的这个灵性能量，那我又怎么可能去理解你的超然逍遥呢？
Therefore, it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, anyone who can understand a little of the transcendental pastimes, appearance, and disappearance of the Lord becomes immediately eligible to enter into the kingdom of God after quitting the material body.
所以呢，在《佛家梵歌》里面说到，当任何一个人，如果他在离开躯体，如果他对于您的超，对主的超然逍遥显现和隐迹有任何的一丁点的理解的话，他离开这个物质躯体之后，就能合格进入神的王国。
This statement is confirmed.
这句话在《伟达经》当中得到了确证。
There is stated, simply by understanding the Supreme Personality of God, one can overcome the chain of repeated birth and death.
在《伟达经》当中说到，一个人只要通过去理解至尊人格守神，他就能克服不断生死轮回的铁链。
I therefore recommend that people should not try to understand you by their speculative knowledge.
所以呢，我推荐人们不要试图通过推敲的知识 去理解你。
The best process for understanding you is to submissively give up the speculative process and try to hear about you.
要理解你的要理解你的最好的程序呢，就是通过顺从的放下推敲的程序，并努力的去聆听你。
Either hear from yourself as you have given statements in the Bhagavad Gita and many similar scriptures, or from a self or from a realized devotee who has taken shelter at your lotus feet.
就聆听关于你的消息，不管是从你在国家梵歌当中给予的您亲自的说法，或者许多类似的伟大文献，还是从一个已经脱不离你莲花走的自我觉悟的奉献者那去聆听。
One has to hear from a devotee without speculation.
一个人应该毫无推敲的去聆听一位奉献者。
One does not even need to change his worldly position. He simply has to hear your message.
人不需要不需要改变他的世俗位置，他只需要去聆听你的关于你的信息就可以了。
Although you are not understandable by the material senses, simply by hearing about you, one can gradually conquer the meshes of misunderstanding.
虽然说通过物质的感官并不能理解你，但是呢，只要通过去聆听关于你的信息或知识，人就能够逐渐的征服由误解而带来的愚昧。
By your grace only, you become revealed to the aided devotee.
完全是由于您的仁慈，你才在一个奉献者当中心中得到了揭示。
You are unconquerable by any other means.
以任何其他的方式都是无法征服你。
Speculative knowledge without any trace of devotional service is simply a useless waste of time in the search for you.
如果一个人毫不从事奉献服务，而只是去推敲知识的话，那么他只是在寻找你的过程当中无意的浪费时间。
Devotional service is so important that even a little attempt can raise one to the highest professional platform.
奉献服务是如此重要，人即便做出任何丁些微的尝试，他也能够提升到最高的完美层面。
One should not therefore neglect this auspicious process of devotional service.And take to the speculative method.
所以呢，我们不应该去忽略奉献服务这一吉祥的程序，而从事推敲的方，而去采用推敲的方法。
By the speculative method, one may gain partial knowledge of your cosmic manifestation, but it is not possible to understand you, the origin of everything.
通过推敲的方法的人或许能够得到关于你的宇宙展示的一部分知识。但是不可能理解你作为万物的源头。
The attempt of persons who are interested only in speculative knowledge is simply wasted labor.
一个只是喜欢推敲知识的人所做出的尝试，不过是浪费时间、浪费劳力而已。
This is like the labor of a person who attempts to gain something by beating an empty husk of rice paddy.
这就好像。是一个人想要通过去击打这个空壳，那个大米的这个空壳子一样，而试图从中得到些什么，这样一个人的劳动。
A little quantity of patty can be husked by the grinding wheel, and one can gain some grains of rice.
那么一些的这个稻米，你可以通过用这个磨的这个轮子，就可以把它的这个壳给去掉。那么这样呢，就能得到一些米粒。
But if the skin of the patty has already been beaten by the grinding wheel, there is no further gain in beating even a huge quantity of the husk.
但是呢，如果这个稻米的皮已经通过这个在这个磨轮里面已经被磨掉了。那么你再即便去再敲打很大很多的这个皮也没这个壳也没有用的。
It is simply useless labor.
只不过是无用的无意的劳动而已。
My dear Lord, there are many instances in the history of human society where a person, after failing to achieve the transcendental platform, engaged himself in devotional service with his body, mind, and words, and thus attained the highest perfectional state of entering into your abode.
我亲爱的主，在人类社会的历史当中已经有很多这样的事迹，也就是当一个人他在无法达到超然层面这个尝试之后呢，就他这一尝试失败之后，他就会用他以他的躯体心意和语言从事奉献服务，并而达到了进入您的王国，进入您的居所的最高完美境界。
The processes of understanding you by speculation or mystic meditation are all useless without devotional service.
如果不做奉献服务，他想要而想通过催敲或者玄秘的冥想而达到你的这一程序，都是毫无用处的。
One should therefore engage himself in your devotional service even in his worldly activities.
所以一个人在即便在世俗的活动当中，也应该去从事对您的奉献服务。
And one should always keep himself near you by the process of hearing and chanting your transcendental glories.
而且呢，一个人他应该通过聆听和唱诵您的超然的荣耀这样一个程序，而让自己一直在你身边。
Simply by being attached to hearing and chanting your glories, one can attain the highest perfectional stage of entering into your kingdom.
只要去一个人只要去依附聆听和唱诵您的荣耀，他就可以达到进入您的王国的最高完美境界。
A person should always keep in touch with you by hearing and chanting your glories and offering the results of his work for your satisfaction only.
那么如果一个人他能够通过聆听和唱诵你的荣耀，并且一直为了您的满足，一直为了满足你而把自己的活动的工作的结果献给你的话，
He very easily and happily attains entrance into your supreme abode.
他就能够轻易并且快乐地进入到您的至尊居所。
You are realizable by persons who have cleansed their hearts of all contamination.
那些心中已经完全清除所有的污染的人能够觉悟到吗？
This cleansing of the heart is made possible by chanting and hearing the glories of your lordship.
而一个人则可以通过唱诵和聆听您的荣耀而净化自己的心灵。
The Lord is all-pervading.
主是无所不在的。
As it is stated by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, everything is sustained by me, but at the same time, I am not in everything.
这就好像主 Krishna 在国家凡夫当中所说的，一切都受到我的维系，但同时呢，我并不存在万事一切之中。
Since the Lord is all pervading, there is nothing existing without His knowledge.
因为主是变成万有的，所以没有任何事情是在他不知道的情况下而存在的。
The all-pervasive nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never be within the limited knowledge of a living entity.
这尊人格守神变成万有这一本性是永远，也不会被一个拥有有限知识的生物体所理解的。
Therefore, a person who has attained steadiness of the mind by fixing the mind on the lotus feet of the Lord is able to understand the Supreme Lord to some extent.
所以呢，如果一个人他已经达到稳定的心，已经能达到了心意的稳定，并且将自己的心意稳处在主的莲花足下，那他就能够在某种程度上去理解至尊主。
It is the business of the mind to wander over varied subject matter for sense gratification.
这个心意它的活动呢，就是会不断的游荡，然后去游荡，为了自己的感官享乐而游荡到不同的物体。
Therefore, only a person who always engages the senses in the service of the Lord can control the mind and be fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord.
所以呢，只有一个完全将自己的感官用来从事对主的服务的人，能够控制自己的心意，并且将心意完全的专注主的莲花足。
This concentration of the mind on the lotus feet of the Lord is called samadhi.
人如果将自己这个将心意稳处在主的莲花足下这样一个状态呢，就被称为是 samadhi。
Until one reaches the stage of samadhi or trance, he cannot understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of God.
在一个人达到 samadhi 或者神定状态之前，他是无法理解这尊人的所存的本性的。
There may be some philosophers or scientists who can study the cosmic nature from atom to atom.
可能会有一些哲学家或者科学家能够去研究，每一个原子的这个宇宙本原子本性。
They may be so advanced that they can count the atomic composition of the cosmic atmosphere or all the planets and stars in the sky.
他们可能已经非常的进步，并且能够数清在所空中所有的星球或者星星上面的这个宇宙范围，能够数清宇宙范围当中所有的原子的组成，或者说空中的所有的星球和星星。
Or even count the shiny molecular particles of the sun or of the stars and other luminaries in the sky.
或者他们还能够数清太阳或者其他星星或者天空中其他的发光体里面的发光这些发光的原子组成。
But it is not possible to count the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
但是呢，它却不可能能数清这尊人格所存的品质。
As described in the beginning of the Vedanta Sutra, the Supreme Person is the origin of all qualities.
这就好像 Vedanta Sutra 开始所描述的，至尊者，是所有品质的源头。
He is generally called Nirguna.
通常呢，他被称为是 Nirguna.
Nirguna means whose qualities are beyond definition.
Nirguna 的意思呢，就是一个人的品质它是超越，是无法衡量的。
Guna means quality, and near means beyond estimation.
Guna 的意思是品质 ，near 的意思呢是无法衡量。
But impersonalists interpret this word nirguna as having no quality.
但是那些非人格主义者，他们却把 nirguna 这个词翻译成，或者说理解成没有品质。
Because they are unable to estimate the qualities of the Lord in transcendental realization, they conclude that the Supreme Lord has no qualities.
因为他们无法处在超然的觉悟当中去衡量或者去评估主的品质，所以呢，他们就得出结论说至尊主没有品质。
But that is actually not the position.
但事实上，这并不是主的真正的位置。
The real position is that he is the original source of all qualities.
他真正的地位是，他是所有品质的源头。
All qualities are emanating constantly from him.
所有的品质都来源于他，恒常的来源于他。
How, therefore, can a limited person count the qualities of the Lord?
所以一个有限的人怎么可能去数清主的品质呢？
One may estimate the qualities of the Lord at one moment, but the next moment the qualities have increased.
一个人可能在一刻一下子他能够衡量或者评估主的品质，但在下一分钟这些品质又增加了。
So it is not possible to make an estimation of the transcendental qualities of the Lord.
所以呢，你要去衡量或者评估主的超然品质是不可能的。
He is therefore called Nirguna, one whose qualities cannot be estimated.
所以呢，他就被称为是 Nirguna， 也就是说，一个人的品质是无法衡量的，一个无法衡量的品质的人。
One should not uselessly labor in mental speculation to estimate the Lord's qualities.
一个人不应该毫无益处的去想要做心智推敲而去评估主的品质。
There is no need of adapting the speculative method of exercising the body to attain mystic yoga perfection.
人也不必采用推敲的方法，或者说去锻炼身体，而达到玄秘瑜伽完美。
One should simply understand that the distress and happiness of this body are predestined.
人应该只是去理解，这个躯体的快乐和痛苦都是事先定好的、命中注定的。
There is no need to try to avoid the distress of this bodily existence or to attempt to achieve happiness.By different types of exercises.
人们不用不着通过各种的运动或者锻炼而试图去避开这个躯体存在的 这个躯体存在的痛苦，或者试图去达到快乐。
The best course is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead with body, mind, and words, and always be engaged in His service.
最好的方法呢，就是将自己的身体、心意和言语，恒常去归依于至尊人格手中，并且恒常的去服务于他。
This transcendental labor is fruitful, but other attempts to understand the absolute truth are never successful.
这种超然的劳动是有效果的，但其他任何想要去理解绝对真理的这些尝试，绝不会取得成功的。
Therefore, an intelligent man does not try to understand the absolute truth by speculative or mystic power.
所以呢，一个有智慧的人，他不会想要通过推敲或者玄秘力量去理解绝对真理。
Rather, he engages in devotional service and depends on the Supreme Personality of God.
相反，他会去从事奉献服务，并且依靠至尊人格手中。
He knows that whatever may happen to the body is due to his past fruitive activities.
他知道发生在他躯体的任何的事情都是由于他过往的果报活动而致。
If one lives such a simple life in devotional service, then automatically he inherits the transcendental abode of the Lord.
如果一个人在奉献服务当中过一个简朴的生活，那么他自然就能够继承主的超然居所。
Actually, every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and the Son of the Godhead.
事实上，所有的生物体都是至尊主的所属部分，是守神的儿子。
Each has the natural right to inherit and share the transcendental pleasures of the Lord.
每一个人他都有天生的权利去继承并且分享主的超然喜乐。
But due to the contact of matter, conditioned living entities have been practically disinherited.
但是呢，由于和物质的接触，这些受条件限制的生物体，事实上已经无法继承，失去了这个遗产。
If one adopts the simple method of engaging himself in devotional service, automatically he becomes eligible to be free from material contamination and elevated to the transcendental position of associating with the Supreme Lord.
如果一个人采取这个简单的从事奉献服务的这样一个方法的话，他自动就能得到资格，摆脱物质污染，并且被提升到与至尊主联谊的超然地位。
Lord Brahma presented himself to Lord Krishna as the most presumptuous living creature because he wanted to examine the wonder of his personal power.
主 Brahma 将自己向主 Krishna 呈现为presumptuous means.
Sorry?
Presumptuous means.
Presumptuous means that assuming, he's assuming.
主 Brahma 将自己向主 Krishna 展示一个最容易推想的或者最容易猜想的一个生物体，因为他总是想要去检查他自己的力量的这个奇妙之处。
He stole the boy's calves of the Supreme Lord in order to see how the Lord would recover them.
他把主的这些男孩朋友们和牛犊们偷去，这样呢，他就能够看到主是如何把他们找回来。
Now Lord Brahma admitted that his attempt was most presumptuous, for he was attempting to test his energy before the person of original energy.
现在主 Brahma 他就承认自己的这个努力啊，这种尝试是完全是假想的，因为他是在想要通过。他是想在这个原初能量的原初 person 这个原初能量的人面前去考验他的能量。
Coming to his senses, Lord Brahma saw that although he was a very powerful living creature in the estimation of all other living creatures within this material world, his power was nothing in comparison to the power energy of the Supreme Personality of God.
主 Brahma 他就恢复了，这样他就终于明白了过来，他醒悟到，虽然说其他这个物质世界里面所谓其他的生物体， 都把它认为是最有力量的生物体，但是它的力量跟至尊人格守神的力量和能量相比却是微不足道。
The scientists of the mature world have invented wonders such as atomic weapons.
这个世界的这些科学家，他们有了重大的发现，就比如说这原子核武器，原子武器。
When tested in a city or some insignificant place on this planet, such powerful weapons create so-called havoc.
那么当这些核原子武器在一个城市或者说在这个星球里面微不足道的地方受到测试的时候，他们这些武器所展示的这些力量呢，就能够制造出所谓的骚乱。
But if the atomic weapons are tested on the sun, what is their significance?
但是如果你在一个地，在太阳啊、以太阳或者在太阳上面来测试这个原子武器的话，它有什么重要的呢？
They are insignificant there.
他们在那里是微不足道的。
Similarly, Brahma's stealing of the calves and boys from Sri Krishna may be a wonderful display of mystic power.
同样的，主 Brahma 从 Krishna 那儿偷走了他的牛犊和男孩子们，可能是一个很好的一个神力量的展示。
But when Sri Krishna exhibited his expansive power in so many calves and boys, maintained them without effort, Brahma could understand that his own power was insignificant.
但是呢，当时 Krishna 通过不断的扩展他的这个展示，他的这份力量去延伸，把自己扩展为这所有的这么多的这个牛犊和男孩子们，并且毫不费力的维系着他们，那么 Brahma 就明白到他自己的力量是微不足道的。
Brahma addressed Lord Krishna as a chuta because the Lord is never forgetful of a little service rendered by his world.
Brahma 称主 Krishna 为 achuta。因为主永远不会遗忘他的奉献者所从事的任何微小的服务。
He is so kind and affectionate towards his devotees that a little service by him is accepted by him as a great deal.
他对他的奉献者是如此的仁慈而充满友爱，所以他们向他做出的一丁点的服务也会被他接受为很多。
Brahma certainly rendered much service to the Lord.
Brahma 肯定已经向主做了很多的服务。
As the supreme personality in charge of this particular universe, he is without a doubt a faithful servant of Krishna.
作为一个掌管这个宇宙的一个至尊的人格，所以呢，他毫无疑问是主 Krishna 一个忠实的仆人。
Therefore, he could appease Krishna.
所以他能够抚慰 Krishna.
He asked the Lord to understand him as a subordinate servant whose little mistake and impotence might be excused.
所以呢，他就请求主呢理解他作为一个从属于他的仆人，那么这样呢，他的一丁点的错误和这种鲁莽可以得到原谅。
He admitted that he was puffed up by his powerful position as Lord Brahma.
他承认了自己因为作为主 Brahma 这样一个强大的力量而有点骄傲自满。
Because he is a qualitative incarnation of the mode of passion within this material world, this was natural for him and therefore he committed the mistake.
因为他是在这个物质世界之内的这个情欲形态的品质的这个化身，所以呢，这对他来说是很自然的，因此呢，他就犯下了错误。
Well, Lord Brahma hoped that since he was, after all, Lord Krishna's subordinate, the Lord would kindly take compassion upon him and excuse him for his gross mistake.
但是呢，主 Brahma 就希望，因为他毕竟是主 Krishna 的一个下属，所以呢，他就希望主能够仁慈的向他展示他的这个怜悯之心。并且为他的这种粗糙的错误而原谅给他。
Lord Brahma realized his actual position.
主 Brahma 就觉悟到了自己真实地位。
He is certainly the supreme teacher of this universe.
他肯定是这个宇宙至尊的老师。
He is in charge of the production of material nature consisting of the complete material energy, false ego, sky, air, fire, water, and earth.
它掌管着物质自然的产生，包括包括完整的物质能量，甲我、天空、空气、火、水和土。
Such a universe may be gigantic, but it can be measured, just as we measure our body as seven spans.
这样的一个宇宙是虽然是非可能是很庞大，但它仍然是可以衡量的，就好像我们可以以七个段来为衡量我们的躯体一样。
Generally, everyone's personal body measurement is calculated to be seven spans of his hand.
通常呢，一个人的他自己的躯体可以通过用他的手来做个七，就是很量七下来这样做的得到计算。
This particular universe may appear as a very gigantic body, but it is nothing but the measurement of seven spans for Lord Brahma.
那么这样一个宇宙呢，可能看起来像是一个庞大的躯体，但是呢。但是呢，这不过是主 Brahma 的七段衡量而已，测量而已。
Aside from this universe, there are unlimited other universes which are outside the jurisdiction of this particular Brahma.
除了这个宇宙之外呢，还有很多其他的无限的宇宙，而这些宇宙是，就是是超越于这样一个这个特定的主 Brahma 的控制之外的。
Just as innumerable atomic infinitesimal fragments pass through the holes of a screen window, so millions and trillions of universes in their seedling form are coming out from the body pores of Mahavishnu.
就好像无限的原子的微小的这些碎片，它们可以穿过一个有屏幕的这个窗户的这个洞做孔一样，那么也有成千上万的、成亿万的这些宇宙。在他们总之的形象当中，而从 Mahavishnu 的躯体这个毛孔当中出来。
That Mahavishnu is but a part of a part of the planetary expansion of Krishna.
而那个 Mahavishnu 却不过是 Krishna 的偏程扩展的一部分的一部分而已。
Under these circumstances, although Lord Brahma is the supreme creature within this universe, what is his importance in the presence of Lord Krishna?
那么在这样一个场合之下，虽然说主 Brahma 是这个宇宙中的至尊的生物，但是他在主 Krishna 面前又算得了什么呢？
Lord Brahma therefore compared himself to a little child within the womb of his mother.
所以呢，主 Brahma 就将自己比作一个母亲子宫里面的一个小婴儿。
If the child within the womb plays with his hands and legs, and while playing touches the body of the mother,Is the mother offended with the child?
如果一个处在这个子宫里面的孩子，他用自己的手和腿在玩耍，当他玩耍的时候呢，会碰到母亲的躯体，难道这个母亲会受到这个孩子的冒犯吗？
Of course she isn't.
当然不会了。
Similarly, Lord Brahma may be a very great personality, and yet not only Brahma, but everything that is existing within the womb.Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
同样的，主 Brahma 也可能是一个非常伟大的人物，但是呢，其实不仅仅是主 Brahma， 而是事实上所有的生物体、万事万物都是在至尊人格守神的子宫里面。
The Lord's energy is all pervading. There is no place in the creation where it is not active.
主的能量是遍存万有的，没有任何创造之内没有任何一个地方没有它的活动。
Since everything is existing within the energy of the Lord, the Brahma of this universe and the Brahmas of the many other millions and trillions of universes are existing within the energy of the Lord.
那么，因为万事万物都是存在于主的能量之中，所以呢，这个宇宙的 Brahma 以及其他成亿万的这个宇宙当中的这个主 Brahma。都只是存在于主的能量之中而已。
Therefore, the Lord is considered to be the mother, and everything existing within the womb of the mother is considered to be the child.
所以呢，主就被比作为母亲，而处于这个母亲子宫里面的万事万物呢，就被认为是孩子。
And the good mother is never offended with the child, even if he touches the body of the mother by kicking his legs.
那么当这个孩子在踢腿的时候触碰到母亲的躯体， 的时候呢，那这个好母亲是绝对不会对他的孩子所冒犯的。
Lord Brahman said that his birth was from the lotus flower which blossomed in the navel of Narayan.
主 Brahma 接下去就说的，他的这个出生呢，是从主 Brahma 主 Narayan 的肚脐里面长出来的一朵莲花上面，他是从那里生出来的。
This was after the dissolution of the three worlds or three planetary systems known as Urloka, Uvarloka, and Svarloka.
那么这是在三个世界或者说三个星球体系，那他们就是 Urloka, Uvarloka 和 Svarloka, 他们三个世界解体之后发生的。
The universe is divided into three divisions, namely Svarga, Marga, and Patala.
这个宇宙呢被分为三个部分，那就是 Svarga, Marga 和 Patala。
These three planetary systems emerge into water at the time of dissolution.
在解体就是在毁灭的时候呢，这三个星球体系就融入到了水中。
At that time, Narayan, the planetary portion of Krishna, lies down in the water and gradually a lotus stemGrows from his navel, and from that lotus flower, Brahma is born.
那么就在那个时候，Krishna 的天权部分 Narayan 他就躺在水上，然后逐渐呢，他从他的肚脐里面就长出一朵莲花，一个莲花茎，然后呢，从主 Brahma 就从这朵莲花上面出来，生了出来。
It is naturally concluded that the mother of Brahma is Narayan.
那么自然而然就会得出这样的结论，说 Brahma 的母亲就是 Narayan。
Because the Lord is the resting place of all the living entities after the dissolution of the universe, he is called Narayan.
因为主是在宇宙毁灭之后所有众生的栖息地，所以呢他就被称为是 Narayan。
The word Nara means the sum total of all living entities, and Ayana meansthe resting place.
Nara 这个词呢是指众生的总体， Ayana 的意思呢是栖息地的意思。
The form of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is called Narayan because he rests himself on that water.
Garbhodakshaya Vishnu 的形象被称为是 Narayan， 因为他自己是栖息在那水上面的。
In addition, he is the resting place of all living creatures.
除此之外呢，它还是众生的栖息地。
Besides that, Narayan is also present in everyone's heart, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita.
除此以外，那么就好像佛教梵歌所确证到的 ，Narayan 它还存在每个人心中。
In that sense, also the Lord is Narayan, as Ayana means the source of knowledge, as well as the resting place.
那么从这个角度来说呢，它也是 Narayan， 因为 Ayana 的意思，它意思是知识的源头，还有一个意思就是栖息地。
It is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that the remembrance of a living entity is due to the presence of the super soul within the heart.
佛教梵歌还确认到生物体的记忆是由于主居在于它的心中。
After changing the body, a living creature forgets everything of his past life.
那么在改变躯体之后呢，生物体会遗忘自己的前世。
But because Narayan, the super soul, is present within the heart, he is reminded by him to act according to his past desire.
但是呢，因为这个 Narayan， 也就是说超灵存在于他的心中，所以呢。他就会提醒这个人，他就会按照他过去的欲望而提醒这个人。
Lord Brahma wanted to prove that Krishna is the original Narayan, that he is the source of Narayan, and that Narayan is not an exhibition of the material energy Maya, but is an expansion of the spiritual energy.
主 Brahma 的那场，他就想要证实 Krishna 是原初的 Narayan。它是 Narayan 的源头，而且 Narayan 呢也不是外在能量的一个展示， Maya 不是外在能量或者 Maya 的展示，而是灵性能量的扩展。
The activities of the external energy or Maya are exhibited after creation of this cosmic world.
外在能量或者玛雅的活动，这是在这个物质世界的创造之后所展示出来的。
And the original spiritual energy of Narayan was acting before the creation.
而且 Narayan 的原初的灵性能量是在创造之前就已经在活动了。
So the expansions of Narayan, from Narayan to Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Prabhadakshaya Vishnu, Prabhadakshaya Vishnu to Shiradakshaya Vishnu, and from Shiradakshaya Vishnu to everyone's heart, are actually Krishna's expansions, manifestations of the spiritual energy.
So Narayan 的扩展，也就是说是从 Narayan 扩展到 Karnadakshaya Vishnu, 再从 Karnadakshaya Vishnu 扩展到 Prabhadakshaya Vishnu,然后再从 Prabhadakshaya Vishnu 再扩展到 Shiradakshaya Vishnu， 再从 Shiradakshaya Vishnu 扩展到每个人的心中。这一切事实上是 Krishna 的扩展，还是他灵性能量的展示。
They are not conducted by material energy, therefore they are not temporary.
他们不是由物质能量的，这不是由物质能量所做出来的，所以它不是短暂的。
Anything conducted by the material energy is temporary, but everything executed by the spiritual energy is eternal.
任何由物质能量所从事的事物都所展示的事物都是短暂的，而任何由灵性能量所从事的事情呢，却是永恒的。
Lord Brahma reconfirmed his statement, establishing Krishna as the original Narayan.
主 Brahma 他又重新确认他的说法，就确立主 Krishna 为原初的 Narayan。
He said that the Lord's gigantic universal form is resting on the water known as Garbhadaka.
那么他就说主的这个庞大的宇宙形象栖于这个Garbhadaka 这个水的上面。
Brahma spoke as follows, this gigantic universal form is another manifestation of your energy.
主 Brahma 如下说道，他说这个庞大的宇宙形象是您的能量的另外一个展示。
On account of his resting on the water, this universal form is also called Narayan, and we are all within the womb of this Narayan form.
那么就因为他的栖息这个水上面，所以呢这个宇宙形象又被称为是 Narayan, 而我们则都是这个 Narayan 形象，我们都处于这个 Narayan 形象的子宫里面。
I can see your different Narayan forms everywhere.
我能在所有的地方都能看到你不同的 Narayan 形象。
I can see you on the water. I can feel you within my heart. I can also see you before me now.
我可以在水里看，水上看到你，我也可以在我的心中感受到你，同时现在我也能看到你在我的面前。
You are the original Narayan.
你就是原初的 Narayan.
My dear Lord, in this incarnation you have proved that you are the supreme controller of Maya.
我亲爱的主，在您的这个化身当中，你证明了你是 Maya 的至尊控制者。
You remain within the cosmic manifestation, yet the whole creation is within you.
你在整个宇宙展示之中，但是呢，整个的创造又在您之中。
This fact has already been proved by you when you exhibited the whole universal creation within your mouth before your mother Yashoda.
那么当你在你的母亲要说的面前在你的嘴里面展示整个宇宙创造的时候呢，这一事实已经由你得到了证实。
By your inconceivable potency of Yoga Maya, you can affect such things without external help.
通过你的不可思议的 Yoga Maya 的力量，你可以 不借助于任何外在的帮助而能让这件事情发生。
My dear Lord Krishna, the whole cosmic manifestation that we are visualizing at present is all within your body.
我亲爱的主 Krishna, 我现在看到的这所有这整个的宇宙展示都在您的躯体之内。
Yet I am seeing you outside and you are also seeing me outside.
但是呢我在外面看到你，你也在外面看到了我。
How can such things happen without being influenced by your inconceivable energy?
如果不受到您的不可思议的能量的影响，这样的事情怎么可能发生呢？
Lord Brahma stressed herein that without accepting the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot explain things as they are.
主 Brahma 在这里就强调到，如果一个人不接受至尊人格守成不可思议的能量的话，他就不可能原初的去解释这个事情。
He continued, My dear Lord, leaving aside all other things and just considering today's happenings, what I have seen, are they not all due to your inconceivable energies?
他继续说道，我亲爱的主啊，我们不要管其他的事情了，你就考虑一下今天所发生的事情，我所看到的这一切，难道他们不都是因为你不可思议的能量而造成的吗？
First of all, I saw you alone.
首先我是看到你独自一人。
Thereafter, you expanded yourself as your cowherd boyfriends, the calves, and all the existence of Vrindavan.
之后呢，你又将自己扩展为你所有的牧牛童男朋友们，以及这些牛犊，以及整个Vrindavan的存在。
Then I saw you and all the boys and calves as four-handed missionaries.
接下去呢，我又看到了你以及所有的男孩和牛犊们，都是这个四臂形象的 missionaries。
They are being worshipped by all elements and all demigods, including myself.
而且他们都受到了所有的元素，和所有的半神人，包括我本人的崇拜。
Again, they are all wound up, and you remained alone as you were before.
They were all wound up,
means they are all wound up, means like this, right?Kind of like just like winding something together. It was like it all rolling a ball of string together like that.
All together. Yes. 然后呢，他们又被收集到一块儿，那么你就只剩下你一个，跟你以前只剩下你一个人了，跟你以前一样。
Does this not mean that you are the supreme Lord Narayan, the origin of everything?
难道这不意味着你就是至尊主那样万事万物之源吗？
That everything emanates from you and again enters into you, leaving you the same as before.
然后万事万物又由你而来，并且最后然后又呢又进到你之中，让你成为和你原来一样。
Persons who are unaware of your inconceivable energy cannot understand that you will alone expand yourself as the creator Brahma.The maintainer Vishnu and the annihilator Shiva.
如果一个人他不知道你的不可思议的能量的话，他也就不能理解你是其实你是一个人将自己扩展成就创造者 Brahma, 维系者 Vishnu 以及毁灭者 Shiva.
Persons who are not in awareness of things as they are contemplate that I, Brahma, am the creator, Vishnu is the maintainer.And Lord Shiva is the annihilator.
那些不知道那些不了解事情真相的人会认为我 Brahma 是创造者 ，Vishnu 是累积者，主 Shiva 是毁灭者。
Actually, you alone are everything, creator, maintainer, and annihilator.
事实上，你是这一切，你既是创造者，也是累积者和毁灭者。
Similarly, you expand yourself in different incarnations.
同样的，你将自己扩展为不同的化身。
Among the demigods, you incarnate as Vamanadeva. Among the great sages, you incarnate as Parasuram. Among the human beings, you appear as yourself, Lord Krishna, or as Lord Rama. Among the animals, you appear as a boar incarnation.
在半神人当中呢，你将你化身为 Vamanadeva， 在伟大的圣人当中，你化身为 Parasurama， 在人类中，你展示你。显现为你本人主 Krishna 或者主 Rama， 而在动物当中呢，你又显现为主雄猪化身。
And among the aquatics, you appear as a fish incarnation.
在这些爬虫当中呢，你又显现为鱼的化身。
And yet you have no appearance or disappearance. You are always eternal.
但同时呢，你其实又没有显现或者隐迹，您是一直都是永恒的。
Your appearance and disappearance are made possible by your inconceivable energy just to give protection to the faithful devotees and annihilate the faithless demons.
你的显现和消失之所以变得可能，都是因为你不可思议的能量而造成的。这一切呢，只是为了去保护你的忠实的奉献者，并且摧毁没有信心的恶魔。
O my Lord, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, O super-soul controller of all mystic powers, no one can appreciate your transcendental pastimes as they are exhibited within these three worlds.
哦，我的主啊，至尊人的手，哦，变成蔓延的至尊人的手神啊，哦，超灵啊，所以神秘力量的控制者，没有人能够欣赏你的超人逍遥，因为他们都是其实都是在这三个世界之内走着展示。
No one can estimate how you have expanded your yoga maya and your incarnations and how you act by your transcendental energy.
没有人能够去衡量你是如何将自己扩展，你是如何扩展你的 yoga maya 以及你的化身，你又是如何作为你的超人能量而活动的。
My dear Lord, this whole cosmic manifestation is just like a flashing dream, and its temporary existence simply disturbs the mind.
我亲爱的主啊，这整个的宇宙展示就好像一个闪电般的闪烁的梦，那么它这种超它的这种短暂的存在呢，也只是骚扰我们的心灵而已。
As a result, we are full of anxiety in this existence. To live within this material world means simply to suffer.And be full of all miseries.
结果呢，我们在这个存在当中就充满了焦虑。你要活在这个物质世界当中，只是意味着去受苦，充满了痛苦。
And yet, this temporary existence of the material world appears to be pleasing and dear on account of its having evolved from your body, which is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge.
但是呢，物质世界的这样一个短暂的存在。似乎又是让人很愉快，并且因为它是从你的躯体，它从你这个永恒充满喜乐和知识的这样一个躯体当中连发展出来的，所以呢，它又对你非常的亲切。
My conclusion is therefore that you are the supreme soul, the absolute truth, and the supreme original person.
所以呢，我的结论就是，您是至尊的灵魂，你是绝对真理，你是至尊的原初的人。
By your inconceivable transcendental potencies, you have expanded yourself in so many additional forms.
由于你不可思议的超然能量，你将自己扩展为这么多的微小形象。
And also in the living entities and other energies.
同时呢，也在生物体以及其他的能量之中。
You are the supreme one without the second, supreme super soul.
你是独一无二的至尊者，你是至尊的超灵。
The innumerable living entities are simply like sparks of the original fire, your lordship.
那么这无限的生物体呢？不过就好像你这个，就好像是原初的火，原初的火当中的小小的火花而已，也就是您的这小小的火花而已。
So this ends part one.
所以呢，第一部分就到此结束了。
We're about halfway into Lord Brahma's prayers.
这个呢，我们是讲到了主 Brahma 的祈祷的一半。
But there are some points that we should discuss.
但是呢，我们应该有些要点要讨论。
The first is that in the beginning, we see that Lord Brahma, he comes before Krishna in a humble mood, realizing his position.
首先呢，我们是看到这个主 Brahma 他以一种谦卑的心态来到主 Krishna 面前，他觉悟到了自己这种卑微的地位。
And this is something that we too must do.
这样的事情我们也应该做。
We must actually realize our position as fallen souls within this material world to be able to humbly submit ourselves to Krishna.
那我们也应该觉悟到自己作为这个世界当中卑微的堕落的灵魂，我们应该去皈依于 Krishna。
As long as we remain proud of our position, thinking that we are someone in this world, it will be very difficult to surrender to Krishna.
只要我们还以在这个世界上以某一些地位而骄傲的话，那我们就不可能或者很难去皈依 Krishna。
But as soon as we realize that we're but a speck of dust, then and only then will we be able to submit ourselves to Krishna.
但只有当我们意识到或者领悟到自己不过是一粒微尘而已，那我们就能立即就能去从属或者顺从于 Krishna。
Therefore, what Jesus says, you shall ask it.Third verse, Srinadapi Sunachana Chena Tarodapi Sushishuna. He says that one has to be more humble than the grass, more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others, and not expecting any honor or respect in return.
So, in the Chaitanya, he will say in the Bhashin Gita, the third verse, Srinadapi Sunachana Tarodapi Sushishuna.意思就是说人应该像小草一样卑微，比大树还要宽容，随时向别人致力，并且不期待任何的回报。
And if we can actually cultivate this mood, we'll be able to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly.
如果我们能够培养起这样一种心态的话，我们就能很长的唱诵主的圣名。
Another point is that Lord Brahma, he nicely describes Krishna's beauty.
还有一点呢，就是主 Brahma 他很好的描述了 Krishna 的美丽。
It's a very nice meditation for us.
这对于我们是一个很好的冥想。
He knows that Krishna's bodily hue is bluish.
他就提到主 Krishna 的这个眼肤色是蓝色的。
He is wearing yellow garments.
他穿着黄色黄袍。
He's wearing conch shell earrings.
他还戴着海螺的这个耳环，海螺耳环。
Peacock.
还有孔雀羽毛。
Garland of forest flowers.
他还戴着用野森林野花做的花环。
Buffalo horn bugle.
还有这个牛角。水牛角的那个牛角。
And of course, his feet.
还有就是他的鼻子。
So, we can meditate on Krishna like this through these words of Lord Brahma.
所以呢，我们就可以通过主 Brahma 这句话这样去冥想 Krishna.
Another point is that Brahma, he states that even though he is the creator of the universe and master of Vedic knowledge, that he cannot understandKrishna as a young child standing before him.
还有呢，主 Brahma 就承认到自己虽然是这个宇宙的创造者，并且是一位伟大知识的大师，但是呢，他却无法理解这个站在他面前的这个小孩子形象的 Krishna.
That should tell us something.
这应该对我们也有所提示。
That if the supreme personality of this universe, Lord Brahma, can understand Krishna, how can we understand?
如果连这个世界的这个物质世界的至尊的这个至尊人格主 Brahma 都无法理解 Krishna, 那我们怎么可能去理解他呢？
It's only if Krishna allows us to see him.
只有当 Krishna 允许我们看到他，自己才能发生。
Otherwise, the veil of Maya will always be there, and we'll never be able to see.
否则的话，这个 Maya 的这个面纱就会一直罩在那里，然后我们永远也无法看到它。
Therefore, Brahma Samhita says, Premanjana Charita, Premanjana, that one should anoint one's eyes with the salve of love of God to be able to see Krishna.
所以呢，在 Brahma Samhita 当中就说到，我们应该在自己的眼睛上涂上爱的膏药，这样能才能看到 Krishna。
Another point is that Krishna is has a totally spiritual body, and with any limb of that body, he can perform the function of any other limb.
还有一点呢，就是他就说，主 Brahma 还说到 Krishna 他一个完全灵性的躯体，他的躯体的任何一个肢体都能够去从事其他的肢体的活动。
Lord Brahma tells Krishna can see with his hand.
主 Brahma 说到 Krishna 可以用手来看。
He can hear with his eyes.
可以用眼睛来听。
He can create with his mouth.
他可以用嘴巴去创造。
And he can accept offerings with his legs.
他可以用腿来接受供奉。
So he can do anything because of that spiritual form.
所以呢，就因为他就拥有这样一个灵性的形象，他什么事情都可以做到。
So he can do anything he likes at any time he likes, in any way that he wishes.
所以呢，他可以在任何的时间，以任何想喜欢的方式去做任何的事情。
Another point is that, as Brahma mentions, that Krishna is especially affectionate to the devotees.
So Brahma 还提到一点呢 ，Krishna 对他自己的奉献者，尤其是非常钟爱他的奉献者。
Krishna is called Bhakta Vatsala.
Krishna 被称为是 Bhakta Vatsala,
which means that he is especially inclined towards his devotees.
意思呢，他就是特别偏爱他的奉献者。
So Lord Brahma notes that even someone like himself who has offended Krishna, that Krishna still is very affectionate to him.
所以呢，主 Brahma 就明白，虽然说像他这样的人冒犯了 Krishna, 那 Krishna 仍然对他会有特别。仍然会非常的爱他。
But to speak of the pure devotees,
那更不要说纯粹奉献者。
How much affection Krishna has for them?
Krishna 对于纯粹的奉献者拥有多少爱？
We cannot even imagine.
我们甚至都无法想象。
Krishna enjoys serving his devotees more than his devotees enjoy serving him.
Krishna 喜欢去服务他的奉献者，超过喜欢奉献者服务他。
The pleasure he gets is incalculable compared to the pleasure we get.
他得到这些喜乐，相比我们得到这些喜乐，他的这些喜乐是无法计算的。
So Krishna's affection is incalculable.
所以呢 ，Krishna 的爱是不可计算的。
And we can never understand it fully. But we can simply try to understand through the pages of the Bhagavatam, hearing and seeing through the eyes and ears of the pure devotees.
实际上是我们无法完全的去理解，但是呢，我们可以通过去。比如说去阅读圣典《国家瓦上这样篇这章一这篇章，或者去聆听这圣典这纯粹奉献者的讲述而去理解。
Another point which Lord Brahma makes is that if one simply understands the appearance and disappearance of the Lord, one can be automatically liberated.
那么主 Brahma 还提到一点呢，就是说如果一个人能够理解主的显现和他消失或者他离开的这些逍遥的话，我们就可以得到解脱。
So how do we understand?
那我们怎么理解呢？
Understand through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra.
我们可以通过 Guru, Sadhu 和经典去理解。
So if we are always in touch with these three sources, then it will be possible for us to actually understand Krishna's appearance and disappearance.
虽然如果我们一直能够跟这三个资源保持连接的话，我们就能够最终慢慢能够理解到主 Krishna 的显现和他的离开。
Therefore, the door of liberation will open.
这样呢，解脱之门就会大开。
Another point that Lord Brahma makes is don't speculate.
主 Brahma 还提的一点就是不要推敲。
There is no need to speculate.
不需要推敲。
Our conditioning is such that we always want to speculate with the mind about this.
但是呢，我们这个受条件限制这个状态呢，就一直让我们的心意特别对某些很多的事物不断的去推敲。
But there is no need to speculate about Krishna.
但其实就是我们根本不必要去推敲 Krishna。
We simply have to hear about Krishna.
我们只要去聆听关于 Krishna 的信息就可以了。
Simply hear about Krishna from Krishna and Krishna's devotees.
我们可以通过去聆听 Krishna 和 Krishna 的奉献者而去理解他。
Therefore, Lord Brahma says that we should hear from the devotees without speculation.
所以呢，主 Brahma 就说我们应该毫不推敲的去聆听奉献者。
Another point is that devotional service. Is so powerful that even a very small attempt can raise one to the highest professional platform.
还有一点呢，就是奉献服务是如此的有力量，即便我们付出很小的努力，但是它能让最终可以把我们提升到最高的完美境界。
This is stated so many times throughout Vaishnava literature.
这一点其实在整个的所谓的 Vaishnava 文献当中已经提到了多次。
Even a little attempt on the path can give us the highest reward.
即便在这条道路上做出任何微小的尝试，也能够让我们达到最高的完美，能够达到主。
So we should have full faith that we are walking the highest path.
所以我们应该有具有完全的信念，我们是走在最高的道路之上。
And we simply have to remain on that path, straight, walking straight ahead. Do not deviate. Walk ahead.
我们唯一需要做的就是停留在这条道路之上，一直往前，不要偏离。
Another point is that hearing and chanting cleanses the heart and keeps one focused on Krishna.
还有点呢，聆听和唱诵可以净化我们的心灵，并且让我们专注于 Krishna。
So this is the way that we can associate, because Krishna is non-different from his pastimes. He's non-different from his name.
那么这样呢，我们就可以这样去联谊，因为 Krishna 和他的沙罗时光和他的名字都没有区别。
So if we arrange to always hear and chant daily, then our hearts will gradually be cleansed and it will be much easier to focus our attention on Krishna.
所以呢，如果我们能够每天都去唱诵，最终我们的心意就会得到净化，那么让我每天去冥想 Krishna 就会容易很多了。
So this, Lord Brahma says, is real samadhi.
那主 Brahma 说，这就是真正的 samadhi, 就真正的神定。
To always be fixed on the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna.
我们要一直专注于 Shri Krishna 的名字形象，他的活动和他的逍遥时光品质。
And the last point is that Krishna never forgets a service of his devotee, even a little service.
最后一点呢，就是说 Krishna 永远不会忘记他的奉献者做出任何的一丁点的服务。
He is eternally indebted to the devotee.
他永恒的亏欠于他的奉献者。
And even if the devotee renders justSeemingly insignificant service, Krishna never forgets that.
即便奉献者所从事的这些奉献服务看起来似乎是微不足道的，但 Krishna 永远也不会忘记它。
Krishna, it said, is purchased by the service of his devotees.
据说 Krishna 会被他的奉献者的服务所收买，所征服。
So we should always be very, very focused and always fixed in our service and to do it as nicely as possible.
所以呢，我们应该一直都专注于 Krishna， 并且稳处在我们的奉献服务当中，尽量把这奉献服务做得很好。
First, we should pay attention to the quality of our service, and then we should pay attention to the quantity.
首先我们应该关注我们服务的质量，然后呢才去关注它的数量。
Better to do a little service well than to do a lot of service not very well.
最好呢，我们是很好的做一丁点的服务，而不是不好的做很多服务。
We will do our service nicely if we're actually developing love for Krishna.
如果我们真正的去培养起对 Krishna 的爱的话，我们的服务会做得好的。
Because naturally we want to please that personality that we have given our hearts to.
因为自然而然呢，我们就会想要去取悦那个我们已经把自己的心交给了他的那个人。
And if we truly give our hearts to Krishna, Krishna will give his heart to us.
那么如果我们真实的把自己的心交给 Krishna 的话， Krishna 也会把他的心交给我们。
So we pray that.We can truly give our hearts to Krishna so that he will reciprocate.
所以呢，我们祈祷我们能够真实的把心交给 Krishna， 这样呢 ，Krishna 也会回应。
So we will end here.
那我们这堂课就讲到这里了。
And we should again thank Gopi Gita Mataji for her nice translation.
再次感谢 Gopi Gita 的翻译。
And our thanks are there, as always, to Shakshi Gopal Sharanprabhu for facilitating the lecture.
我们再次感一如既往的感谢 Shakshi Gopal Sharanprabhu 来协助我们的这个翻这个讲课。
And we feel very blessed to have your association so that you are there for us to give these lectures to.
同时呢我们觉得能够得到大家的联谊并且呢有这样机会跟让因为你们的领导而讲这堂课我们觉得非常幸福。
So our special thanks to you for listening so attentively.
我们特别感谢大家这么聆听的人这么专注的来聆听。
So, Krishna willing, we will meet again soon.
Krishna 愿意的话，我们很快再见。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. 感谢大家的聆听，我们今天的播音就到此结束了，我们下周见。